Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we're sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and Jenny Morden, Recruiter Account Manager Extraordinaire. And today's topic is all about resumes, effective resumes, resume formatting, what positions to leave off, lots of those kinds of topics. And please make sure to visit creresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts if you've missed the last ones. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered straight to your inbox. So I'll turn it over to Angela and she can give us some more detail on our topic today.
Thank you, Miss Becky. And it's funny because I think probably folks would expect the resume topic to be very easy and very brief. Mm-hmm. And actually, even all the topics that you just said that we were going to talk about, we will probably not get to because I want to talk about the difference between a well-written resume, a poorly written resume, and an effective resume. And there is a huge difference because a well-written resume, just because it's well-written and it's got the basics, does not mean that it's going to get read. And I think people think that they are just going to write a really pretty resume and it's going to go out and everybody's going to fall in love with it and they're going to win the interview, which is the point of the resume, is to win an interview. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of the resumes that we receive are extremely poorly written. And I'm sure that the authors who wrote the resume don't realize how horrible these resumes are. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I will tell you one thing. I read an article not too long ago, and I mentioned this in an article that I just wrote not too long ago, but that it is estimated that a recruiter only spends 7 seconds on a resume before they decide to move forward with that candidate or discard the resume and then actually move forward with other candidates. So wow. That's the reason why we want to talk to little Miss Jenny today, because she has probably reviewed hundreds of resumes this week alone. So, Jenny, if we take a look at resumes in general, what would you say would be the top three things that would cause you to rule that candidate out and just move right on to the next one?
Well, I think probably the first thing would be lazy formatting. And that would be as far as just the way the resume looks, like, are the bullets all matching up? Are there spelling and grammar errors? It's surprising how many of those kind of things you see. I know when I speak to CRAs and ask them what are some of the qualities that are most important for a CRA to have, probably 90% of people tell me being detailed and detail oriented. So it's kind of strange to see
ironic.
When you look at their resume. Exactly.
It's kind of a dichotomy, isn't it?
Exactly. If things are misspelled or they just, you know, the formatting isn't consistent throughout. So it's kind of just an ugly resume. And you think, if they're not being detailed with their own resume, how are they going to be detailed in their work?
Yeah,
I've even seen resumes where some of the names of their companies were actually misspelled. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty big thing. And it may be autocorrect on, you know, their software that did that, but then they clearly didn't go back and proofread the resume to fix it.
Yeah. And sometimes that happens because they put the company names in all caps. And I know by default, Microsoft will not check spellings of capitalized because they think it's abbreviations or, you know, that type of thing. But we see that all the time. Misspelling inventive, par excel. I mean, big company names that they should know better if they worked for them. spelled wrong. So that's a really, really good point. Saw a resume actually this week from a gal, and she's been in the industry for years. And rather than using bullets, she tabbed. So she had all these tabs over, and then she would start, you know, one of the accomplishments or tasks. And then whenever she would have to do a carriage return, because of course it would go in the different direction, she would just tab the second part of the sentence over. And it was a mess. It was just crazy, the formatting.
And there's some things, too, that we don't like to see on there, not necessarily lazy, but just putting the efforts in the wrong place. Maybe you call it crazy formatting. I don't know, lazy versus crazy. But what are some things that are, you know, things like, you know, we want it simple and clean, right? How about pictures? What do you think, Jenny, about sending pictures on your resume?
Yeah, we definitely don't need a picture of you on the resume. We're not picking you out based on your looks. It's based on your qualifications. So you can definitely leave those off. And the same with things that really just aren't relevant to the position that you're interested in. You know, your hobbies and interests, those are great, but not for your resume where you're trying to show why you're qualified for the position.
Yeah. Right. Like volunteer work, you know, it's wonderful that, you know, we see that you're, you know, community oriented and service oriented and that sort of thing. Those are great, you know, personal attributes, but not necessarily, you know, they may translate into your professional work, but that's more what you talk about during an interview. Like you show them your personality and you do the culture fit more in that interview to match styles rather than trying to tell them, you know, all of your volunteer experience on your resume.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the only caveat that I would give to that, because that is a really good point, Becky, is, you know, you volunteer at an animal shelter or you do all those types of things. Wonderful topics to discuss during an interview to show that you're a quality individual. But sometimes youngins, very novice professionals that have volunteered at maybe, you know, health centers or, you know, even internships as coordinators or whatever, you might need that on your resume to show some type of a career trajectory. But if you are a seasoned professional, leave it off because you're distracting from the point of the resume, aren't you? And which again is to win the interview. Once you get in the interview, you can talk about all that stuff all you want to, but getting into the interview is really the key.
That makes total sense. If it's industry related or specific to your career path, then that would make sense for youngins for sure. Great point. So Jenny, in this sort of lazy formatting topic, what would indicate maybe mistakes for formatting or on your resume versus like fraudulence? What kind of things stand out that make it you wonder about fraudulence?
Yeah, sometimes I think people are just a little bit careless with their resume, maybe copying and pasting dates and titles and things like that. But sometimes they don't match up or you see dates overlapping or things like that. And you think, was that just an error or are they trying to hide something? If they are trying to hide something, are they a fraudulent candidate? So I would be very careful with like, especially with dates and titles of your positions, making sure that those are accurate and kind of double checking those on your resume.
Which actually leads to another point, isn't it? And this was probably in your top three too, is what's the story that candidate is trying to tell and the dates and whether they match up and align really leads a lot into that, doesn't it?
Yep, exactly. I talked to someone the other day, and he's one of the people that mentioned that, you know, being detail oriented is so important. But then I did have to ask him because some of his dates on his resume didn't match the ones on his LinkedIn. They were pretty far off. So I had to double check which were correct. And I think it was just, you know, copying and pasting. It got a little mixed up. But that's one of those things you really want to make sure is accurate and double check it.
I agree. Yeah, I had a hiring manager that I work with for years reach out to me yesterday to recommend someone that works for her. And unfortunately, and you know, and I had to let her know we'd pulled him from our pool. And the reason why is just because of that. We had two resumes from him across a 3-year time period. And of course, every time we get a resume, we go scrape the LinkedIn profiles. So we had two different versions of LinkedIn profiles. All four documents had different dates and employments. All four.
Wow.
Now, maybe there are honest mistakes, but all four. Yeah. We're not talking about one shift of a date to where it was exactly a year off. So you think it's probably a typo or something. I mean, there were different employments, different titles, all of those types of things. And, you know, that kind of carelessness is a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that reminds me of, you know, a reference call I took the other day with this candidate. The candidate had put that he was a lead CRA. That was his official title at that company during the time they worked together. And when I talked to the manager at that company, you know, she said, well, this person was Actually, their official title was a clinical research associate, but they volunteered and pitched in to help with a few lead tasks, just, you know, extra above and beyond. But she made it very clear at several points during the call that he was not technically a lead CRA. That was not his official title, but she was grateful he pitched in. But he was sort of misrepresenting himself on his resume that that was his official title. Is there a way to indicate that you've done a little bit extra and gone above and beyond, but not make it look so potentially fraudulent?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely put down your actual correct title as the title, but then you can definitely list under that the tasks that you've done and, you know, make note that, you know, I did these lead tasks kind of above and beyond here. And that actually is very impressive. So
I agree.
That would be, yeah.
Yeah, I've served in the capacity of a lead CRA when the lead CRA was out on maternity leave or was buried with the other project or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, when you're telling the story, you can add those types of things into a professional summary. Professional summary is really what makes an effective resume. Big difference between a professional summary and an objective. Do not use an objective in this industry. I think it can be the death of a resume, but a professional summary can add a lot of meat to your resume because it's kind of like this little cover letter, but right up at the smack top of your resume before people start looking at it. And if a recruiter is only going to spend 7 seconds on your resume, that professional summary could be your make or break to let you be able to move forward.
Yeah, makes sense. So what is the next one then? What would you say, Jenny, is number three? Topic number three.
I think the next one would be making sure that your resume is kind of set up to where we can find the keywords in it. So when you're applying for a job, there's going to be certain keywords we'll be looking for. I know in our situation, whenever a job opens, we'll do a search of our database of our candidates, and we run a search for the ones that have the qualifications that we're specifically looking for that job. So we might look for someone who, you know, for this job, they might need oncology experience, or they might need phase one experience, or oversight experience, you know, just depending the job. So those are the people we reach out to first. So you want to make sure you have all that experience listed on your resume so that our system can pull you because if you have that experience but don't have it on there, we're not going to find you right away. You're
That's
kind of going to get delayed when we let people know about the new job.
That's very true, which loops just right back down to your very first point is the crazy and lazy resumes. You know, these folks that do the crazy, I call a crazy resume one of these really glossy graphic design type resumes that we get in and they're beautiful, but it's hard to find stuff. And, and the way they've been formatted a lot of times and then converted to an image file, those are not scannable. And most companies, almost every recruiting company I am aware of, and most large CROs and sponsors use scanning softwares. And just like you said, you do this search. The list of people that come up in the search are the ones you reach out to first. If we can fill that position with that list, we never go look at the other resumes. So the content's so much more important than the formatting and how pretty and glossy it is, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. I know I love to see it when a CRA has maybe like a table of their therapeutics in their resume or a list of them in their resume. That makes it so much easier for me to see them and for our system to find those qualifications.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, because once you get the scan in and then you take a look at the resume, the other bit, and we haven't really mentioned this is the top three, but when you're telling your story, it's, things are listed in chronological order. Right? You can tell, you know, when they worked where and what they did when they worked there and all of that type of thing too, because that's a nightmare, isn't it? To spend that kind of time on a resume and not really get the feeling of what the person really did.
Exactly. Yes. I love seeing the chronological resumes for sure. That just makes it so much clearer, their story. And it also shows that they're, sometimes you wonder when things are mixed up, like, are they trying to hide something? Was there an employment they're kind of trying to take out or hide in there? So,
yeah, you don't want us to use our imaginations. That's number one. That never turns out good. Yeah. Don't make us wonder.
Yeah. 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 That's a really good point. I had a gal that requested to connect with me yesterday, and she had requested to connect with me in 2017, and I didn't connect then. And, you know, her introduction to herself was great. You know, it was well written, and she spoke to about her passion and how she loved going above and beyond, and she really loved this industry. And then you look at her LinkedIn profile, which to us is just like a resume, mm-hmm. and it was all over the place. You know, study startup for 5 months, TMF specialist for 4 months, coordinator for 6 months, CRA back then at 9 months. And it just went down and down and down and down and down. Mm-hmm. No story. Well, there is a story, but it's not the kind of story I'm hoping that she wants to represent. To me, the story is she's not got it together. She's a flight risk, and I am not going to spend my time on her because, unfortunately, I mean, look at her track record. I'm going to put her somewhere. She's going to stick for 4 months. Mm-hmm. If she can do the job, think about it. How many jobs have you guys ever taken where it did not take you at least 4 to 6 months to get trained?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So we've talked about the top three, and I know we're about out of time, so we'll have to talk about the other topics on another podcast, but crazy versus lazy formatting, being able to clearly and concisely tell your story, mm-hmm. and then, of course, making sure that your resume is scannable. That is a word, right? Scannable. Yes. Is that you can scan it for the keywords and that your therapeutics are listed in there. Because the other thing I would say about that is we have some really great series that we work with that provide an Excel document of all of their therapeutics. I love that. But the problem is if it's not in their resume, they won't get found, will they? Yeah, so it's that whole thing of put it in your resume as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Concise, but everything there that matters there as concise as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big buckets. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, thank you so much, Jenny and Angela. This was so great. What a really helpful topic. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to everybody out there listening. At CRA Resources, we get it. You have so many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. We take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers. We also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more info about our firm, and we really can't wait to work with you.